All in corruption in the meantime. Tell them say any time. The government policies undermine.
I had your. Do you know that song, Chinese?
I don't. This me.
Nah, but.
Yo, you know, I'm just starting listening to
that. Yeah, what's 99 still? How what's old you are? Like, one?
Anytime.
You know what's crazy?
I was three, pussy hole.
Oh, I never know.
Yeah, it fuck up still. I'm not gonna tell you. It fuck up, cause it fuck up everything for everybody.
Yeah.
In every way.
I'm just like, I know that like work is still going on, so like it kind of fuck up, but like you're still going to work every day. But like, just imagine your life is going on and then everything just stop. Like everything just stop. Everybody gone. Like.
How has it affected you?
The things I expected to do are no longer a possibility. Like finishing the semester. And I mean, as far as finishing the semester goes, like my momentum is gone. Like I felt like, oh, I'm gonna do all this work over spring break and like catch up so that I can, you know, finish strong. And now I just have no momentum. Like, I just feel like, shit, everything's online. What's the point? Like, I'm going to be home anyway. Like,
okay.
I don't even have the headspace. I have work due tomorrow. I don't even know, like.
Okay, so context, your final year.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn.
Final, so that was 6 weeks. I had 6 weeks left.
Shit, so. Well, go on,
and then I was supposed to graduate, and that shit is cancelled. So.
The actual ceremony itself.
The ceremony and the commencement, yeah.
But you're still going to graduate, though.
Virtually.
So will they do? I wonder if they'll do like an online commencement speech. I remember
nobody
one year
wants
Diddy
that.
Was here. Well,
who
yeah,
the fuck
that's
wants
true.
Yeah,
that?
Them like, they streamed the ceremony, but I don't see any online commencement speech ceremony making any
I don't
type
think
of
that
sense.
Will
sense
yeah. Satisfy anybody.
Yeah, it won't.
Yeah.
And also, we pay $100 for graduation.
Oh, really?
To like pay for the ceremony, and there's no ceremony now.
So we're not gonna get it back.
I'm gonna need a refund for that.
I'm sure they're gonna
refund.
I'm gonna
need back my technology fee, my transportation fee. I'm gonna need back my rent for the rest of the semester because it's $5,000 a semester. That shit's not cheap. And I'm gonna need like. You know what? I'm just going to file a class action. And I think we're all just going to try to recover for emotional damages as well. Especially the graduating class.
Who are you going to file that towards? The school?
Yes.
It's not the school fault.
The situation is not their fault, but they choose how they handle it. And guess what? We pay rent here. So that's like if all the landlords in D.C. were like, hey, guys, coronavirus, so we're going to evict you.
No, no. This whole evacuation of schools thing is not just a Howard thing. I doubt. I'm not completely sure.
And, but I need and my money back.
You're definitely going to get your money back. But emotional
that's
damages.
Not true.
Come on now. We're in, not even essentially, literally a state of emergency. And certain people, everyone needs to just accept that not everything is going to run as planned.
I'm just struggling to understand
your plans,
how kicking us out of our living space is going to help
because
when there's nobody here. So, like, it's not like it would have caused no widespread infection of people because it's like 10 of us here. And it's not a matter of being able to pay for the shit because it's already paid for. Like, all the food and supplies and everything that people are going to get is paid for and it's going to be 10% of the people here. So
what they're doing
is
minimizing the effects of it spreading because right now we're going through spring break,
right?
People are traveling all over the world. What they're trying to, what way they were doing really is limiting the effect of people coming back.
Right.
That was the initial stance.
Right, yeah,
then
it
just extended down the line when they realized, hey, this thing is much bigger than we thought in the beginning because people are actually
dying. Yeah, like in Italy, yesterday was 360. yesterday.
Just yesterday.
360 people died. I mean, it's their country is understandable because they have an aged population where 60% of the population is age 40 and older. So, you know, it's understandable. But,
Jono, Joker Smoker. Guys, he doesn't have the Rona. He's coughing because he's a bad smoker.
Joker Smoker. Yeah. So, yeah, so they have an age population. So, I mean, it messed up because, for me, Hunter's affected me. So, we had an event, Menkasi, we had Bam Bam DC, so that we had to postpone that. Then, 2 weeks after that, we have Bam Bam Jamaica, which you have to postpone that. And, you know, that's when you postpone an event, you'd have already incurred pre-party expenditure, marketing, deposit, and all of that. That the marketing you're not going to get back, I have to spend that again. But, you know, luckily, the relationship we have with the venues, we can get back. We don't have to pay back that. But
So Bam Bam's still on.
Yeah, man, Bam Bam's still right on. Now. But, yeah, that's not right now. Yeah. And then Carnival. And I'm not telling a lie, I know enough people get a bashing about it, but I'm disappointed. I mean, I understand why it had to be postponed, but I'm disappointed about Carnival. Because I'm there, I eat right, I stop hoche. You see me and I eat a bag of rice and them thing, then I do beer, sit up and I eat grass for lunch. Not grass, but vegetable, you know, just for try. Make the one pack into a two pack, you know, all get the belly done.
All for self quarantine.
Just so do you understand my frustration then?
Yeah, like, of course.
When you prepare for something and you're expecting something and then it's just taking away from you.
And then my daughter's birthday, like, I've never missed any of my kids' birthday. Like, every single year, April, I'm in Jamaica. Sierra birthday, April 26th. Mm-hmm. And then now I can't, because we're going to have it early, celebrated the week before, but then now. We can't have no birthday party, one, because we can't invite no bugger Pitney, you see me? And social distancing, you see me? More than nine friends. And then make it worse now, if you're going to Jamaica from any country that has the coronavirus, you have to self-quarantine for 14 days. Yeah. So, worse if we go to my camera, see her.
You would need like a month
off. Yeah, a month off. So, it fuck up. It fuck up. I mean, but...
It's one of those things.
Understandable.
Let me show you. When things are above us, and we literally have no control over it, it's a waste of energy worrying about your situation at hand. Mm-hmm. Because there's literally nothing in your power. All you can do is protect yourself in a time like this, because this is what the agencies are saying. They themselves don't even know the extent of this right now. And if they don't know, and we are going to stand here and say, oh, we know more than them, and say, oh, yeah, man, let me go out of them thing there. Let me throw a party.
Dog, it's irresponsible.
And you forgot school, yeah, that is irresponsible. And right now, when we have, we don't have a full control of our destiny at the moment, but where we can control the stuff, make the right decisions.
But all right, yeah, all right. I was reading in Italy where one of the reasons they're struggling to have it under control, there's a town, I can't remember the name now, but they were under quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 people left the town, got to another town, and it caused that to spread. They infected 80,000 people. So, and why I remember that yesterday, I say how much people, who the Limekey, who the Fort Clarence, who the wherever.
Yeah, they
and I'm like,
okay,
see there. And I'm like, okay, like, you're thinking about yourself. Because somebody on Twitter was saying, oh, yo, but I have to go work and I still have their own people. But I'm like, you have to go to work. You know, have to go to Minkey. But you see, they don't think about it until, knock on wood, two months from now, when you start hear some death rate and stuff like that, I mean, I said, Chano, if I'd only practice some social distance, you know, etc. I mean, it's hard on every single person. I feel it for the youth them where can't go champs, you know, there's no champs There's no pen relays. There's no nothing. Like, you wonder, how are they going to qualify for college now, you know? Them one room and they, you know, in 5 years' time, they're going to marry them average white girlfriend. You know, this is their opportunity then to
call him. Anyway, that's all very personal.
Though, like, it shows you how hard it is to really, like, stay home. Because you know how people joke about, like, oh, I'm antisocial, I don't fuck with people, I'm just trying to chill at my house. You know those memes and tweets that people always post? No, look on them.
Yo. But it literally has only been like 3 days.
Yes, but that's the thing. Yeah, it's not going outside for just 3 days. Imagine, this is how people are acting. Can you imagine 3 months? Yeah, we're going to go mad. Like,
yo, if Twitter go on so yesterday and day before, can you imagine? I see in China, they say there's a town in China where the divorce rate has spiked during the 2 month period after the quarantine. Yeah. It's like the couple them figure each other out, say, yo, you know, man, I like that girl.
When they like, see, when we reach home, you know, we'll sleep beside each other, but during the day,
it's easy to like detach from things when your life is constantly moving and there's different parts and different people you're interacting with. But like when it's you and your thoughts, or you and like one person, you really realize like a lot of shit is not how it seems. And I think this could be a time of reflection for a lot of people. Like, this could be a time of, like, you know, people getting to know more about themselves, getting comfortable with their own company, realizing that their relationship is not for them.
And you realize it's enough for them nasty. Yo, you know, some things like... Like, some persons, when they're talking about sanitizing, is like the first time they're using hand sanitizer on a regular basis.
Oh, this girl made a video, and no shade to you, girl, but like, this video was gross. Like, she made a video wiping down her, like, steering wheel, and then she showed the dirt, and I was like, why?
Yo, how people post them thing there, you know
what I'm saying? And then she wiped down, like, the door handle of her car, and I'm like, you use this to open the door every single day. Yeah. You never realize it, black and dirty? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I say, like, people realize certain things, and then it also shows enough people selfish. Okay, you know, see the brother in Tennessee who buy 18,000 bottles of hand sanitizer, and then he was trying to sell it online. Uh-huh. At between $10 and $70, like, he sold 1,000, and then like Amazon and wherever caught
him,
and then he was forced to give them out, to give them for free. Like, the state attorney general was going to prosecute him, and then he was like, "All right, he's sorry, he didn't mean to do it."
I like them too, because free. Sometimes I wonder if America is just a free capitalism society, and clearly there's some hard limits put in place when. You're clearly doing something that is evil. For some, that is evil. Benefiting off of hysteria and a crisis is just, at its core, immoral.
Oh, so you have that same strength for promoters who are having parties during this whole pandemic?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, some of these promoters had to be forced to say, no, we're not. The venue that you're training a party, nah, keep.
Yeah.
That's the only way most of these promoters would have stopped.
Yeah, it's totally wrong. And I'm like, yo, yeah, I get it. At the end of the day, we're in a for-profit business, and you know, we're there to make money. But at the end of the day, if the price that you're going to pay is you're endangering the life of so many.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the people and whether your event, they're in terms of the mortality rate, they're not as high risk as those who are older, but they might go home to their parents or grandparents.
Exactly. Or...
So they never did one mascot too. What are you
talking
about? Oh,
it's
done.
That's what I was saying. Anyways, I think that we just come to realize that, like, we're in such an instant gratification society, and like, people don't realize that their actions actually have long-term effects. And domino effects on society. And we're just doing things for the instant gratification.
That's really what it highlighted.
Yeah.
That whole idea of instant gratification. And not realizing what your actions could result to. Mm-hmm. Or end up going on. Because still no one knows. No one knows the extent of this thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not taking it seriously. It's like a joke. It's free time.
Oh, they're like, oh, yo, it's just a conspiracy theory because they want the whole of it, the vaccine.
Now, you know, see all Trump up, you know, the beginning said, oh, it's a hoax.
Yeah.
Really? Game now says not a hoax no more.
Up to last week, Monday, he was saying it's a hoax created by the Democratic Party to get him impeached. And then Tuesday, and I think by Tuesday, Wednesday, I realized that, oh shit, this shit's like, whoever, like, he didn't have any option. But even the same, UK, they weren't doing anything.
Yeah, no, it's just today, UK decided to close, like, public spaces and everything there. And, like,
which country prime minister have it, or them health minister have it?
Italy's health minister died from it.
No, he didn't die.
Yeah, man, what? He died. And then Justin Trudeau, the Canadian prime minister, his wife has it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
And
the Italian brother really dead?
Yeah, man, him dead, man. Wow. And then
I know some minister in Iran has it.
Tom
as
Hanks
well.
Has it. To the Idris Elba. And he pointed out something. Tony Hawk pointed out something the week before. He was saying
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, no, right? The
skateboard. Oh, no, what Tony Hawk
Tony Hawk said he had the flu, but he thought it was coronavirus. So he went to the hospital showing a couple of symptoms, and they did tests on him because he's Tony Hawk. But he said his two friends who hurt their symptoms were way worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, they don't look serious enough. They're not going to do tests on them. And the man them can easily die. And then Idris Elba was pointing out the fact that he had it. And the only reason he got tested is because he found out somebody he was in contact with had it. But he wasn't showing any symptoms. So this shit is so dangerous. Anyone out here right now could have it.
You know anybody with it?
No. I know a girl who is in self-quarantine in Jamaica because her cousin who visited her from the UK had it, but didn't test positive until she went back to England Saturday. Yeah, so she in self-quarantine because also she has asthma and some other shit.
This thing also only really gets real when it comes close to you.
Because
I guess certain people know who, you know, have that little whole, I know these celebrity vibes. It kind of hitting home more now when they realize that, oh,
but
Tom Hanks
so
have it.
Tom! Oh my God, why is it that celebrities have to get it before we realize that it's
that's
serious?
Just how people are. They said this was the same thing with, like, AIDS. Oh, like, God. No one really cared about it till they saw, like,
Magic Johnson.
Famous people having it. Yeah. Then they were like, oh, it's only people that live dirty lives.
Yeah, gay people.
And gay people have it. Then this one boy, young boy, he was like 9 or something, who caught it from a blood transfusion, and that like softened the whole of America to the whole idea that, hey, anyone can get this disease. You know, it's not just people live quote unquote immoral lives.
Yeah,
get them thing, and that's just how people work, yo. Till it gets close to you, you gotta say, yo, I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because even me, I'm gonna be honest with you, I really was not taking it serious. Like, I mean, I knew it was something serious, but I think when I realized how everything was getting shut down, I'm like, yo, this is like some shit out of a movie.
Yo, this...
Literally.
The news this morning was a movie.
Yo, but somebody on Twitter, they said, and it's so true, that you know how our parents have their Hurricane Gilbert story? This is going to be our Gilbert story for our kids.
This, I'm not going to say worse than Gilbert, but like, the global impact.
Of course, it's worse.
Like,
than
how did you go through Corona?
Your Corona story.
Your Corona story. Like, schools are shut down.
Yeah,
this is the first time people working home. Picnic day home.
Yeah.
Like, for now, for the unforeseeable future. Like, the semester is finished in a March.
Crazy.
I mean, for me, it's like, it's not just graduation. Like, there's other stuff in my future that I'm scared this might affect. Like, I'm just trying not to think about or say things like that because I don't really want it to.
No, I know but what, like, you mean. I know what you mean. Like, for one of my events in Jamaica, one of my sponsors, like, I messaged him like, yo, you know, I hope everything good. But also, you know, checking to see, you know, when we're going to tie up the contract. And they're like, yo, your event is in June. You're supposed to be good, but I'm just letting you know straight up. We've canceled sponsorship for all the rest of events in March, all the events in April, and we'll play it by ear for
May and June.
For May and June. Mm-hmm. So the implications for that. Carnival now being postponed to October, you know, people say, yo, yeah, we know we signed no refund, but we signed no refund for April and now the event to October. I'm already applied for my PTO for the year. Yeah. And Kasif has the PTO for October. I can't go to Carnival. You know, those sort of things. But it's so interesting, though. This situation has showed persons who are resilient and who are business savvy and some who can work on it. Mm. So, like, in terms of the Carnival ban, one band came out giving patrons four options. This is what you can do. You can resell your costume. You can give your costume back to us. We resell it, and when we have it sold, we give you back your money.
Mm.
Or you can keep your costume, or you can tell us you're not coming this year and keep the value of the money spent, so that's $700 or $800, and transfer it to next year. That's while good. The other bands were like, yo, I'm really sorry. Maratio will value you.
Them
but
things, you just sign show no that refund. You have people in the room and at the table thinking.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. To say, yo, we're thinking. All in this situation. Or how do we present the best option?
Yeah. And business owners need to realize that, like, life goes on, and a year from now, 2 years from now, what are your customers going to remember
that you did
in a time of crisis?
Yeah. What did you do during Corona? Yeah.
And the business of a people, two person come out with a business that, hey, like our name is Revelers. One of them, I think their name is Revelers Buy Back. We will sell your Carnival costume for you. We just want 20% commission of the value. Win-win just for like everyone. You know what I'm saying? So, like, one of my family members.
What them name?
What?
Carnival
Bible. Yeah, something like that. I don't remember. But it's two of them. Come on. So one of my family members, they realized that hand sanitizer sold out everywhere. So you know what them do? Them just make a link, get the 100% pure alcohol from Renevy, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they know somebody at a manufacturing. But anyway, within a short period of time, they have hand sanitizer gel selling in different flavors. And them can't find hand for sell it. You know what I mean?
Just like that.
Just like that. And they're selling it at the real market price. Not like people like Mega Mart.
But you know,
and those badass.
Oh my God, that one they did was so
ridiculous.
Awful.
Yeah,
but
man.
That shows you that
them take down the prices.
Yeah,
by selling it for higher prices.
That shows you, because they always say you can make money in times of disaster.
Yeah, man.
But you can still do it ethically.
Of course,
ethically. I have no problem with people profiting out of providing. Yeah. An essential service.
Come on, 100% and 200% profit. Yeah,
ridiculous.
But I mean, somebody did respond to that tweet and say, like,
yeah,
for Mega Mart, that not in times of crisis you have to buy from suppliers that you don't normally buy from, and they're gonna be ruthless and they have higher prices, so you're gonna have to raise your prices, and it's gonna be like really quick inflation in a short period of time. But
that's
I still think taking on the prices, like, we need transparency in terms
exactly. Yeah, it's so if that's why you're hiding your price,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, don't it's ridiculous.
Shady. Hiding
yeah.
price, oh, that's
shady. Shady.
But
especially like in an institution like that, where it's like you're a big business, you're not like a small, like, one man shop.
Yeah.
Your cashiers can just name a price,
yeah,
and take what they want out of it, and now everybody getting robbed, you getting robbed, the customer getting robbed. You need some regulation.
That's a free market for you. That some people who will swear by it.
This is a very interesting, like, just the domino effect, how it has affected everyone. Everybody, travel plans, family plans, education, the business. I feel it the most for small business owner. Okay. Interesting enough, I don't know if I told you guys, this year was the year I was planning to leave 9 to 5 and go business full time. And the plan was within the first 2 quarters of the year. So imagine me left my good work at DC, go to Jamaica,
so
do business and party. And party and business can't keep.
There are recession and crisis resistant businesses and fields.
Like what?
Holy poor people, not necessarily affected right now.
No, man.
Supermarkets, for example.
I mean, obviously.
Okay, them are bad right now.
I hope them have suppliers too.
That's the issue, though. They can only sell as much as they can get.
Mm-hmm.
But if that whole logistics system still running smoothly, they'll be bathing. Those logistics companies and contractors, them are bathing out because they have to ramp up trying to supply everything right
anybody
now.
Yeah, anybody with
online stores. Now is a good time. It's
I see this guy Mark Monk Fit. He's fitness
trainer. Monk Fit.
Yeah, man. Like yo, same time that the man just launched today, online workout program between 5 and 7. This is where you can subscribe, whatever.
See that? I'm like, just like.
I'm not gonna lie. Mark is one of my closest friends, like in life, and he is just such a good business person.
Clearly,
he is so professional. Oh yeah. Like even before this was going on, before everybody started self quarantine, Mark was like, "All right, guys. We're not going to put our clients at risk. We're not going to have personal training during peak hours. So let me know if I can reschedule you, change something around, do home training." And it, like, he is so professional. And he was
very professional.
Anybody that can put in a type of dedication like that into fitness clearly has it. It will spill over to the other things. Yeah. And I feel like it definitely
should
over.
But I've
it should
seen, should but I've seen I mean I'm segueing slightly a bit. I remember one time he was tweeting about his female clients. Like I guess he would like ask them like, "Oh, why did you switch?" Because their trainer didn't know how to keep things professional, to say the least. So
talk about trainer. Trainers in general, or some other man.
Yeah, like the man them don't know that trainer supposed to train them.
No, but you know, honestly, holy for them feel like that's what they're supposed to do, which is disgusting.
What is what they're supposed to do?
Hit on them, hit on the woman because it make them feel sexy. It's very warped, but a lot of them believe that.
Really?
Yeah, and think
I've never heard.
And
that.
Think it's true. I also know a girl that literally start like. Work with trainer so them can fuck them.
That's
crazy. I've literally heard that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, can go to.
Not everybody have that mindset, but it does happen. And I can. I'm usually not. I'm sympathetic with asshole men. But I can see what could give them that idea that it's okay. Because it happens.
Okay. Yeah, but
let's hear the girl, the woman's point of view.
In Jamaica, as a Jamaican man, obviously they're a bit more bold, I would say. Because I worked with a trainer in America and a trainer in Jamaica. And I just feel like Jamaican men are in general more bold.
Yeah.
And then when you have all that testosterone from working out in the gym, you just feel like, okay, yeah, well.
Gift to all women.
Yeah, because, you know, they feel like, we look good, she look good. What's the issue? Like, it's kind of obnoxious.
Yeah, but I feel like as the professionalism, you should, you know, at least say, "Oh, she make the move," you know, to make. I think that's the difference with Mark and everybody else. Like, even if I can't speak for him because I didn't even know him personally. Like, I took like an online like nutrition whatever program from him once. Really. Professional guy, but yeah, I think like maybe the difference with him and the others is that okay, maybe one, he won't pass the place between personal and client, but two, if he's to pass the place, she has to make that first move because I'm not gonna hit on her to make her feel uncomfortable, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, but big up, Mark. Yeah, so
what if you random question,
yeah,
say you're 50,
yeah,
and you have your woman for 30 years.
Yeah.
And she say, "Yo, you know what? Let's spice up the relationship a little bit. Hall pass. Maga sex my trainer. Maga sex my trainer."
Tanta Black said, "Excuse me, no."
But what she has say, "Yo, you can do the same thing too."
"Excuse me, no."
But you'll be surprised how many...
You don't believe in hard pass?
I've actually been in a polyamorous relationship before. We're open to dating.
Polyamorous.
We're open to dating other persons. I've done it before. I personally don't think I'll do it again. Well, who knows?
Did y'all talk about it before y'all got in a relationship?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or did it happen while you were in
it? Absolutely.
So before?
Yeah, man. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But yeah. But all right. So something that I wanted to ask you guys though. See? And I asked it the other day. As a parent, you know, two of us here are parents. I don't know if you ever have planned to ever be a parent. And that's one thing I learned too. Don't make the assumption that because she's a woman mean that she wants to be a parent. Not every woman wants to be a parent.
Yeah. Anyway. Yes, mind your business, mind your womb.
Right. Some of the most disgusting is like, say, you know, I'm not pitney yet.
Anyway. Yeah, Jamaican.
Yeah, gelding. Yeah, gelding.
But you know, and it's so fool, like, you'll be like a young woman and then everybody will tell you, oh, don't have sex. As soon as you reach 30, say, you know, I breed.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Early 20s, yeah. Mule.
Mule.
But yeah, all right. So one thing I've learned is where parenting is concerned, there's no manual, there's no book. Maybe there should be that can guide. But right. But I just might. But there are certain questions that should come up because even I myself didn't ask these questions. I can read through a few and you guys can tell me anything, and if you guys have any questions, certain questions I believe
answer?
Yeah, answer too. Mm-hmm. Alright, so first one that every partner should ask, not even just partner, casual, because you have enough baby where oops them never planned for it, so
you are not oops baby.
Alright, do you want kids? Because it's important for ask.
Yeah.
If yes, when? And if there's an oops moment, we're not planning, no, we don't want kids for the next 3 or 5 years, uh-huh. What are we going to do? Are we going to terminate or are we going to have the kid? You know?
She says, I'm on birth control, it's no oops moment.
Don't fucking fall for that shit.
Yeah.
Me is enough, man, fall for that. Yeah. That never reached me. But no, I'm just saying, like, enough girl trick, man, with that. Like, oh, you come in the minute, man, I'm on birth control.
Between the trick and birth control not working, that statement just don't hold too well. A few holes in that.
Poke some.
So, all right, what are your views on disciplining your child? Do you believe in beating or other forms? Stick a holy back in. You believe in beating? No, wrong. If you believe in a beating, you believe in what kind of beat? Like belt beating?
Funny enough.
I'm sorry, but children knew what they learned. Yeah, my mother used to beat me, and I'm such a good girl because of it.
I don't believe in
me. Or is it that you were traumatized, but you went through so much trauma?
I think I am such a great woman. Like, and it's because of my mother. Like, my mother used to beat me, though. Me tell her to say, like, the neighbor daughter get pregnant and my mother beat me that same night. I didn't have room to be a bad child. I'm such, like...
So you don't think that other forms of punishment are effective?
I think that this new age of everybody having an opinion on what goes on at home,
mm-hmm.
when, like, people aren't, like, violating... I mean, whatever. Anyways, let me just... What? Uh-huh. Rewind.
Right.
I just think that people have gotten a little bit too sensitive because this new generation is acting like them parents never did them best to raise them right.
Right.
And it's like this new, oh, let's talk it out, use your words, let's talk about your feelings. That's all good and well, but I think if you mix that with a little beating... you will have the
razzle dazzle.
You'll have the spectrum from like you have a respectful relationship with your parents to you know not to mess with them. So it's like you know that you can go to your parent for things and you can talk to them about stuff.
Yeah.
But you would not dare try no foolish shit because you know say your mother gonna take out the belt if she gets serious. You know the maximum and the minimum consequences. But I feel like these people don't have no maximum consequences, so they just feel like, all right, well, we can talk about it, yeah, but, like, if I do something, what should I go do? Nothing.
I get you. It's kind of like, I've seen the two sides of it growing up. Like, my mother used to beat me, But she stopped by grade 4 because she realized like it wasn't doing anything. But like my cousins that lived in New Jersey, they never used to get beaten. They used to get grounded, mm-hmm. or go to the naughty corner. And those sort of things. But for me, it was like, I used to laugh to myself, like, what the fuck, I come from Jamaica, I get chubby, I get, hey boy, come here, I get some
lit. No, but I think...
So, and it worked for them. It was effective for D and Doug. So, like, that's why, like, for me, I think overall, though, parenting is a personal, obviously, it's a personal decision because that's your child.
Yeah.
But I think not beating your child is also as effective as if you find that it's effective.
That's the thing. I believe depends on the child. Yeah, I believe it's definitely a case by case situation, because your cousins who would even listen to go into the naughty corner or stay in the room and get grounded, clearly there's a level of respect and authority their parents have over them, and they will listen to their words. You have some children though that's nothing to them. Like, you telling them to do something has no effect on them at all. You have to step it up there, sir. Where you would think that beating is in place. You have some kids, though, that, you know, would, you know, listen and realize, say, yo, you know what? I will get physically hurt if I step out of line. But you have some others that, even with the beating, continue to do bad things.
But what if I tell you that it's lazy parenting? That the first you try one time, you try two time, it don't work. You think that the third time you need to beat them. But if you had actually continued, and if you actually try to talk to your child, not talk to them like goo goo gaga baby talking, but actually like have conversation. It's not going to be as quick as a formula as whatever. But I find that having conversation, like, ever since, like, I made sure, like, to have conversation to find out from Zion, like, yo, what, go on, and we set up boundaries, find out what I'm like, use it as a means of punishing him, taking away certain things, whatever. I get where you're coming from, but I think that it's lazy form of parenting. I feel like none of them just, yeah, I'm not here, you know, that's a forgot for the belt, you know, because if I'm not here, I must have a feeling, and if I'm a feel, I know so that I connect somewhere.
You never have no ears, but me didn't have skin.
I used to get beaten, but I to this day, I feel like every beating I get was unfair. Like, I never deserved no beating I get. But I never did that bad stuff.
Anything that says that,
like high school. Yeah,
the parents think different, though. Okay, it's a valid point, and enough parent. When I would hear what trouble was for some kids versus my trouble was nothing at all. You know what I mean?
My trouble was anything relating to boys.
So. See, now you forget being.
Your
skin too hot.
All right, so mama asked.
But no, guys, just to clear the air, like, my mother never like kill me or nothing. She was just. She just knows that, like, I'm a crybaby and I'm like, I can't take pain. So she just knows that that's how I respond. Every child responds to different communication.
All my mother did need for this, open up her item. And I stop what.
That's all I have with Zion, where, like, I just give Zion a look and him just know.
Yeah.
But it's like with Sierra, boy, I don't know. It's like when it comes to discipline, it's hard for me to discipline Sierra because I guess because she's a girl, I can talk stern to Zion, like, Zion, what y'all do? Yeah. But I cannot, like, it's so hard for me to, so like, Sierra, wait, like, I just can't do it.
And you're cannot not cool enough. Like, for me.
And
like,
she know, you know, and she take advantage of it too.
My mother wouldn't, like, my mother would be the only person that, my father never put his hands on me, like, ever in my life.
Yeah.
And. But my dad, he was cool. He was like he was just so cool.
Yeah.
So like my father, he's like the calmest person ever, and it takes, like, you can never upset him. Like, he is just, he always says this. He says, nothing, Shanice, nothing don't surprise me. Nobody can surprise me. Nothing can surprise me. Because you know what? You can't control people.
Yeah.
Like, my father is, he calls himself a Rasta, like a bald-head Rasta. That's the kind of person
I honestly try to live that life, though.
So, like, anytime my father gets started with me, I know that I'm doing foolishness. Because my father will just be like, Shanice, how can I eat that thing that you do? And I just be like, wow. If my father actually says something about this, I'm really doing foolishness.
True. All right. So the next question. Are there religious preferences?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Cause that's very, very important.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
I was 6 months into our relationship and I found out that he didn't believe in God. We were at Thanksgiving. That's a deal
breaker? 6 months?
We were at Thanksgiving with his grandmother and she has this thing where like she passes out Bible verses for everybody to read at the table.
Yeah.
And him and his brother were laughing, like the whole time they were laughing. And after dinner, I was like, why did you find it so funny when she was reading the Bible verses? And he was like, because I don't believe in God. And I was like, what?
Is that a deal breaker for
you?
Yes. Why?
Because I'm a Christian and I want to raise my children with those values.
Question.
But you can raise them, we can raise them with Christian. I'm not a Christian.
How do we, parents, raise them if you don't believe and I believe?
I think there's a difference, for example, with Zion, like on a Sunday, he'll go to church with my mother. I'm not going. Like he'd start asking, like, daddy, you're not coming? And I was like, no. But I mean, I'm not a Christian. I believe in God, you know what I mean? But I'm just not going to church with you. And I want him to get like those Christian values and those sort of things. Okay. But when he gets
old, as I said, you said you believe in God, you're not a Christian. He said he doesn't believe in God.
What really bothered Shanice was how he dealt with the whole idea of religion.
No, that's not. I mean, obviously,
because you can be an atheist and not be an asshole. But what you are saying about like mocking people about their beliefs,
I hate that.
That's a completely.
They were laughing because grandma didn't know, and she was so like, "Won't you read the next scripture?" And it was just like, you know, when the grandma believes it.
Yeah.
You're a Christian, and she's just so loving and sweet.
So you definitely think that. So when it becomes a deal breaker then in terms of co-parenting is when you are condescending or disrespectful to one religion or the other? Or is it that if the beliefs
that's
are...
Not that's me, it. I think it's when you have diverging beliefs.
Yeah.
How can you agree on raising them? If you can agree on raising them one way or the other, that's great. And maybe it can work. But the difference with this is that if you have divergent beliefs, you're going to have divergent things that you want to pass on to your children.
Okay.
There will definitely be a challenge to that.
Okay.
That's totally fair.
All right. So the next one now. If the child has special needs, do you think we are individually and as a couple able to emotionally but also financially manage this for the long term? And if not, would you want to terminate?
That one's very deep.
how
long are you there with this person?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
this is literally before this is, and even
I then. Believe like these questions are questions you should ask anybody that you're with, or anybody that you're casual with, because you know.
So go back again. Now.
If the child has special needs, do you think we are individually and as a couple able to emotionally and financially manage this for the long term? And if not, would you want to terminate?
That's a good question.
That's a good
very, very good question.
Because you know the emotional strengths and weaknesses of yourself and your partner. And some things, some people just cannot carry on them back.
Yeah, facts. I can't do it. I would terminate.
What if it's a case where you didn't have that chance? You didn't know until after they were born?
No, so, okay, so we're like, well, I guess mine is slightly different because, like, with Jody, Sierra, Jody's a doctor, so she was, I didn't know this before, but she was the one who said, oh, she's going to do whichever test. I don't remember what it was. It was, like, a couple months in the pregnancy. I was like, what's that for? She's like, the test for this, test for that, test for whatever, but also to find out, like, so, you'll have an idea if they're gonna be special needs.
Okay.
And then that was when we brought up, like, okay, and if it's special needs, would you want to terminate?
Is that physical or mental?
Physical.
Okay, so what happens if they come up with something mental?
Well, I mean, you're discussing it. No, terminate. So that's the second part of the question. Would you want to terminate? If you find out that...
But you don't know if they have like mental special needs.
Right.
So they come out and they do. What
yeah, no, I think this scenario
the question is two-part.
Okay, we're being specific.
Right, so two-part. Yeah. So would you be okay with special needs in terms of from the emotional part and financial part? And if you're not okay with it, what would you want to terminate?
Yes, yeah, that's a very heavy ass question that I don't even know about myself yet for me to give you an answer before we even there.
Yeah.
But like, that's a very relevant question.
I cannot, maybe financially, but I know I cannot do it emotionally. Like, it will take so much out of me. Like, when I see what, because I went to prep school, they had a special needs class, and I see how much it affects those parents. Like, one of the guys who I was really close to in prep school, Jonathan Minot, I don't even know where he is now. But yeah, like, I see how much it took, how much of his, out of his mom, and, you know, and you're not even talking financial, how much time she needed to be at the school, etc. Yeah. She loved him. I'm sure. I mean, it's my kid, your own flesh and blood. You're going to love them. But how much it take?
Yeah. Like, see, not everybody have that heart.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't even know if it's so much a heart, but I'm just unable to do.
And patience.
Right.
Now, it takes a special person to deal with situations like that gracefully.
Yeah. All right. So next question is your views on gender and sexuality. Very important. Are you marrying somebody that's homophobic, or are you yourself homophobic? You get married. Hey, I move like you like body people. So you know what I mean. Like, you know, like, if the person is homophobic, they're gonna have homophobic views. I'm not gonna want somebody who, like, we mean liberal views. Yeah. You know what I mean? So these are questions that people don't think about. Can you not think for ask them? Because, like, as I remember last election, a lot of couples got divorced last U.S. election because they found out that their partner was a Trump apologist and they had certain racist views. So even this question, you just assume like, hey, well, he has gay co-workers or she has gay friends, so she can't be homophobic, you know what I mean? Or what if, you know, like the same D-Wade something, what if our kids one day decide that they want to be transgender or whatever the case may be? Because, like, for me, I could never co-parent with somebody who have those views to say, yo, your man can beat the gayness out of them or beat the whatever out of them, you know what I mean? Those sort of things. So, yeah, important question. All right, what level of schooling are we committing to financing our child? How will we plan for it? Very important. Having a college saving fund. That's why North Pitney, when time come now for college, you know, them have to scramble around.
What if they believe that the child should figure it out on their own like they did?
Shit, good fucking point. That's why you have this conversation. Good fucking question. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about it from that perspective.
Teach your child independence.
That's so
cut
true.
Cut them off at 18.
Yeah, but Bunting told me that the only thing he promised his kids, Peter Bunting, he said the only thing is school. He said, yo, my money... And my money.
Yeah, no, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, he said, the only thing I promise you, like, whatever your school costs, you want to go Harvard, Yale, whatever it costs, I'm paying for that. And I'll get you a nice place for you to live, you know, in a not run-down place, a decent place. But anything you want outside that, you have to work. So you can appreciate the value of hard work and all of these things. So that's true.
And nothing fast too. Because you also have to know what type of parent they plan to be in terms of spending money. I think a lot of parents think, oh, I want to give my child a better life, and so you go and you buy your 18-year-old a Bimo, like, that they never worked for and will have no value for.
True.
Like, you have to know what kind of parent they are, so in that regard as well.
You're only setting up your child to live a high consumption lifestyle
when
you spoil them with high ticket items like that.
Yeah, because you're pretty like most millionaires and billionaires, their kids don't get everything. Like, they give most to charity and then give them like very little.
Yeah,
because they see the value in hard work. Cause the same like with me. Like,
them can't get the money to like them 30 or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I have a friend who her mother died when she was like 17, 18, but she can't get the money till she's 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the mother set another will like years before, like yeah.
Power.
Do you have any pre-existing conditions that may be hereditary?
Yeah.
Are you willing to get tested for these? Yo, I never even pre that. Well, I have, well, I don't think I have sickle cell trait. I know my father has the trait. I know his son, Imran, has sickle cell. So my father has sickle cell and Imran has sickle cell. And I think I never have it because my something, I don't remember how to
fuck it. Yeah, we have the trait.
But same, I have the trait.
I have the trait too. So,
that means that me and you wouldn't.
Exactly.
Right.
If we had a child, Jonah, it would have, he would have.
Would?
Yeah, would, yes. Yeah. Because I have the trait, she has the trait. Yeah, right. So that's how it works. So, right. So that would mean that my father has it and his wife has it. So that's how Imran, their son, has it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so give you a joke. My not gonna say where he's from or wherever, but one of my old co-workers, that's him find out, man, same did I get born, because him never have the trait, but him picnic come out with sickle cell.
If you have the trait and your partner doesn't have the trait, the child can never
cannot have sickle cell.
So both births will just have to have the trait.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's your...
But even do them test there for myself, you have to even know. Wow, go on.
Yeah. What's you and your family's health history, mental and physical history? Such a fucking
that's good.
Yeah.
But are these deal breakers or are they?
But I mean, they're.
You know what you're getting yourself into.
I always wanted that.
Yeah.
Because if
true.
Yeah. If you have a partner and you're so like deep in this with them that you're figuring out what you're planning for your child, it's like, is this a deal breaker or is this just something I'm gonna have to come to terms with?
Yeah, well, all right, for me, it depends on, like, these are various questions, but if there are things that I feel really strongly about, like, for example, mental and physical, if the mental is nothing too strong, but if you have something where pretty much think about it, say, yo, everybody in her family, all females in her family, all the males in her family have some form of schizophrenia, including she has some form of schizophrenia, highly likely that's going to be passed on to your child. Like, are you going to be okay with that? Maybe for me, maybe like in the back of my head, I might be like, all right, I know this relationship is not going to progress past a particular point. I'm not going to have a child with you because I can't deal with that, or I'm not going to put up with that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that thing is, but I know for sure there are things here that be like, yeah. Like, yeah, I've been in previous relationship where, like, to answer the point, yeah, there's one particular hot, look good at fuck, like, hot, man, tell you, tick, like a dollar kind, right? But she never really 200, you know what I mean? She never really bright, she never smart. Now, you know them fat old dollar kind in Jamaica?
No, she doesn't.
Yes, I do.
You always make me feel old.
You're so mean.
Yeah, so like, so for me, and it's a saying I would say to my brethren them, her values will raise your child, not her body or her looks. And that enough man,
what did you say? Free.
Her values is what's going to raise your child,
yeah,
not
like
her body
one.
Or
like
looks. You know? Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. You guys can think of any other question that should be asked?
Yeah, for sure.
Like what?
A lot more, clearly everybody know. Every woman know exactly what you need to bring to the table for IB. You know what the deal breakers are now? You get a full laydown of the type of woman.
This is the prerequisite to have a baby for IB.
And you can't broke.
You can't broke.
Because it's hereditary.
And you can't have sickle cell. I've just played.
What if she come and she said, oh, I'm not having no babies out of my body. I want a surrogate.
Shit. No, that's a very good fucking question. That's a very good question. Because is recently I have a boy and a girl. I'm good with that. To be honest with you, I wouldn't mind having more, but I think I'm okay with two.
It's a new girl. She want one.
Yeah. She having him about 5 years.
No, but the surrogate.
Oh, surrogate. Yeah, same. 5 years.
Are you okay with it?
Oh, if I'm okay with her?
Like,
shit,
oh,
yeah, that's a good question in the dark.
Oh my gosh, that's what I was asking you from when.
Nah, honestly, I don't know. And here's why I don't know. I never want to say no, but I don't think so. But
what's the reason why she don't want, why she
you
wants
know
to
how
surrogate?
Your mother always said to you, you know how long I'm sitting and push out.
Yeah. Like it's a she lot on a woman, you know. Yeah, it's a lot on a woman. Jody was in labor for 9 hours.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Say those things.
Yeah.
You don't have that experience. You don't have that bond with
yeah, yourself. Like, I mean, it's a lot. Like, trust me. Like, seeing that up close and personal, I realized we are really the weaker sex. like just the stress. Like, I couldn't even look. You know, being in that delivery room, I couldn't even look. I realized that men, we are really the weaker sex. You see me? So I get it. Whenever a woman say, "Yo, I don't want to go through it," I get it. But let's say if I'm to decide, if it's gonna be hard, cause here's the reason: is that I feel like there's some sort of connection going through the process, you know, and just knowing that your baby didn't come out of your woman, but came out of another woman. I don't know.
You know the pride that men have when they say my baby mother. That you know is like you have like a certain respect, knowing that she went through something that you could not do to bring forth your child. Like, I think that's the
In the back of my mind, it will always be like I'm more invested into this than you are, because it's actually like my child.
What do you mean?
Well, would you be putting her eggs?
Yeah, it's her eggs and yours. Yeah, it's kind of alright for me.
You know what's funny?
Cases where
I don't think it bothers me that much.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cases, it don't bother me that. I mean, I might have a problem. I wouldn't say problem. I might feel funny about it. Mm-hmm. But cases where I think it's perfectly fine is like Gabrielle Union, where she tried before to get pregnant and she was just unable.
Yeah, I was about to ask, what are the circumstances why she wanted to be?
Yeah.
She just don't want
to. I had an ex that just didn't want to, and I told her I'll work on it, how I feel about it. I felt uncomfortable.
Do you think you would think of her as a weak woman?
No, definitely. Like, no, absolutely not. Okay. It never had anything to do with that. It's more personal. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go through the process with you. More you tell me 1 o'clock for go supermarket, cause you feel for milk, a particular milk. You know, I won't go through that.
Yeah.
Rub your belly and feel the kick and all that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to experience the journey with you. And with a surrogate, you're not able to.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess the journey starts also when the child is here.
Join, no. For the household.
No, I know that. And when Ivy start rub her belly and then realize, hey, wait, she kind of cute.
Oh, that's funny.
I feel it could work. I like that arrangement.
Yo, somebody said they only like kids when they can return them back to the parents.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, guys, this was another episode of the Box Lunch Podcast. We just want to say thanks to our listeners. We hope to keep you company in these times of, you know, reflection. When you guys are alone and you just want to hear, you know, some good conversation, just come listen to the Box Lunch Podcast.
Stay home.
Yeah, man, and be safe. Follow all safety precautions that are out there. And you don't know life over everything.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to big up our sponsor, Serengeti.
Negril.